Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:09 on this Thursday evening in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to the program. On today's show, anti-bullying legislation passed by the state Senate yesterday, but all the Democrats voted against it. Want to know why? We'll find out later this hour as I talk to one of the senators that opposed the bill. And Michigan is one of the oldest states in the country, with our population older than 80% of all other states. In response, MSU opening a new department to focus on the elderly. We'll talk about the unique health challenges they face. But first, who's really running our state departments? While legislators may pass our laws, do state workers go beyond them to set policy on their own terms? To talk about it, I'm joined by Russ Harding, a senior environmental policy analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and the director of the center's Property Rights Network. He served as the director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality from 1995 through 2002. Welcome to the program, Russ.
Yeah, Michael, how are you?
Very good. Now, you wrote a commentary today about what you saw happening as a department head, which involved workers setting rules beyond state statutes. How much power over policy and rules does a department director typically have in the state government?
Well, you know, there's very few appointed officials. When a new administration comes in, the vast majority of, 50 or 60,000 state workers or civil service or union contract workers, and they're there regardless of who the governor is. So you really have about 100 maybe appointed people, entire state government. So the real power tends to rest within the bureaucracy, and the legislature tends to pass general laws, and they'll leave that up to these agencies to interpret those, and that's they do that, through regulation. But that's where really probably the great power in government resides.
Doesn't the department director, though, have the final say when it comes to the policy set in his or her department?
Well, theoretically they do. When I was director, actually, what I did along with a couple of my deputies, we reviewed every rule package that the agency brought forward, and I actually made them fill out forms of who was for and against and what it costs and what happens if we don't do it. But that, I probably rejected 75% of the rules that came in front of me as really being unnecessary. But that's probably an exception. Take an agency like Department of Environmental Quality, very complex agency, one of the two or three agencies that promulgates the most rules to implement all the federal environmental statutes. And most directors, I would guess, don't go into that level of detail or have the knowledge necessary to review all those packages. They tend to rely on staff, and so what you end up with is some state employee in a cubicle somewhere is drafting these things up. It gets very little review. There's very little review from the legislature. There used to be a joint committee on administrative rules that still exists, but it's rather powerless to prevent any of these rules from taking force. So probably not nearly as much power as you might think at the higher levels.
Now, I assume when the workers are doing that, they mean well. They're probably setting policies in ways that are most protective or more advantageous or most advantageous to the state residents.
Well, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So I mean, it's not that the intentions might not be good, but the thing is, and it varies by agency, but an agency like DEQ, you have many employees there that have a particular view of the world. They really believe their calling is to protect the environment. They resist change that might come in with a new administration, where a director and a governor probably are going to be, Michael, more concerned about balancing economic growth and environmental protection to reach a balance where you have both, where the staff are going to take quite often a much narrower view. They're going to be responsible for just one portion, and they're going to usually take the most restrictive reading, and that runs often contrary to what the wishes of the governor might be.
Now, I know the Senate Bill 272 is at issue because this bill would prohibit a State Department from promulgating rules more stringent than required by federal standards unless specifically required by a state statute. So currently there is no such rule and there is no such penalty for creating rules that go beyond the federal standards?
That's correct. And in fact, that's a pretty common practice in the areas I'm familiar with, natural resources and environment. Many of the rules go well beyond what the feds require. Now, that, again, may be appropriate in some cases. For instance, maybe it's a water issue affecting the Great Lakes, and, you know, Michigan being a Great Lakes state, we want to be more protective, but I believe that that decision ought to be made by elected officials who are held accountable and not state employees that aren't accountable. And so that's my concern, not that we wouldn't have the ability to be more protective, but that ought to have a full and open debate because, you know, any of these actions that we take, the more we regulate, it has often unintended consequences and economic consequences, consequences on jobs as well as the environment, and those really need to be debated in the public, and we need to have accountability.
I'm talking to Russ Harding, a senior environmental policy analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and the former director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Now, Governor Snyder is opposed to this legislation. Do you think he's not fully aware of these dynamics, or does he view them as not necessarily problematic?
Well, I have had an opportunity to discuss it with him a little bit. I get the sense that mainly where he's coming from is successful executive from the private sector, and he believes that he can manage these agencies effectively. He believes he's appointed good people, which I'm sure he has. But that runs contrary to my experience just because, as I mentioned in my little article there, the deck is really stacked against the governor. It's very difficult to get control. I mean, I would liken some of these agencies to steering an ocean liner. You start cranking on a wheel, but it may be 30 miles down the ocean before it starts to turn at all. And so it's pretty tough to do, and I think that's where you really need the assistance of the legislature, and you need to define exactly what you want these agencies to do and put some reasonable constraints on them. And I think this bill does that. I know he's also expressed concern about the separation of powers and feels as governor he needs to not be constrained by the legislature, but I think there's a good reason for that balance of power between the branches of government.
Isn't part of the issue, though, that a lot of these rules are so complicated, and aren't the departmental workers usually the most knowledgeable when it comes to these areas, far more knowledgeable than the legislators might be?
Well, that's right, Michael. I would agree with that. They're more knowledgeable, but having said that, regulations have an immense impact. In fact, in the United States, we have become heavily, heavily regulated. That's affecting our job. That's one reason unemployment is so high. It's not something the average person really recognizes or understands if you're not involved in it. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I heard the head of Home Depot say that he, because of heavy regulation, he wouldn't even attempt to start that company today. He said it would be hopeless. We are extremely heavily regulated, and again, it's not that there is not a reason for some regulations, but we need to have a good way to judge that and be held accountable, because I think by and large the public wants the environment protected, but they also want a balance, and they want to have a job.
But are businesses not informing department heads when they're running into situations where departments are going beyond beyond federal standards?
Well, they do. They certainly try to get their point across, but, you know, that's difficult, too, for them. They've got to run businesses, especially small, medium-sized businesses, and trying to even keep up with that proliferation of regulations is tough for them to do. And oftentimes I feel that, you know, they feel probably they are not having a great impact there, that the rule's a done deal before they can even necessarily even find out what's going on.
And is this problem just an occasional thing? I mean, is it necessarily the case that we're seeing department workers doing this on a regular basis in across the board?
Well, I think it's pretty regular. I think it happens all the time. I can say in my years of experience at heading up the agency, I was getting rule package consistently, probably at least two or three a month, and a lot of these were hundreds of pages in length, and So, you know, people don't realize just the extensive amount of rules that, are occurring. And actually, some of this doesn't even get promulgated. I mean, there's even policy memorandums and things that are done by staff, and they're used to regulate outside parties. And, you know, the problem with that is there's absolutely no oversight over that. And what I found, oftentimes businesses are reluctant to challenge those because of fear of retribution from agency personnel.
Wow. Well, it certainly is a complicated issue, and I guess we'll see where the Senate bill goes and if the governor does end up supporting this legislation. Russ Harding, a senior environmental policy analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and the former director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.